Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, Cockalorum, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Chelsea host Arsenal and Liverpool go to Spurs this weekend. It's Friday, 4th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Dimitri Vandaraja.
And I'm Andy Rassel.
It's Friday again. I told you we'd get here. We're on our way, Andy Brassel.
Hooray!
Hoorah, Jim Campbell.
Yay.
And give it plenty, Vish. There we go. Nobody could
have predicted. That's the Weekend Eagle. Soaring over the plane.
I love it.
Yeah.
The Weekend Eagle, something we can all get behind there. Gentlemen, is a lot of football happening this weekend. As if the weekend couldn't be any more exciting. We've got a big dollop of football. What are you looking forward to this weekend, Brassel?
Well, there are so many sexy games on Sunday.
Sexy.
And as you know, as the key shaker, the weekend isn't over, well, probably until Monday morning, let alone Sunday night. I'm looking forward to Betis Sevilla.
When's that?
On Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be fantastic. Obviously, it was my game of the week on
Why
OTC.
Did you go to him first?
To get this out of the way.
Also,
wait, you're going last, so make sure it's a good one.
Also, you know, when we do our game of the week on OTC,
yes,
we recommend some food.
Mm.
I think you can't have enough food for that. My house is going to be stacked with tapas. You won't be able to get in the door.
Cool.
I'm going to get David Cartledge on board to recommend some
go.
Stuff. You know, he's a genius baker, by the way.
I do, yeah. Sounds like Henry VIII would be very happy in that surrounding.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And obviously Pellegrino. Pellegrini doing his stuff as well.
He's there, is he?
Yeah.
Is he going to shut his noise if he gets too late?
He's even older now.
I think Sampaoli would tell him to do that. Yeah.
You're very old so-and-so.
So two things about that. David Cartledge is a very good baker. He won the ESPN's Bake Off.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
2 years in a row.
Yeah. And secondly, all that tapas, there's a lot of washing up in it.
No.
Small little bowls.
Do you fancy coming over Sunday?
A lot of ramekins.
He needs a dishwasher. Do you fancy it?
I actually quite like washing the dishes.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Find it quite therapeutic.
For a bit. Andy, I think that game will close the weekend, actually, because Monday morning is famously not the weekend, unless it's a bank holiday Monday.
Okay.
But yes, a good start, though. Jim, what about you?
I'm looking forward to any striker who is eligible for England who isn't quite sure if they're going to be on the plane or not in a situation where they could shoot or they could pass. What they're gonna do?
Oh, I love that.
There's a lot of a lot of them around.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them talking themselves up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm intrigued by the body language.
Yeah.
Of that. and the psychology of it.
Because it's so obvious that England have the starting striker. It really is for that backup role, isn't it,
yeah,
that everyone's vying for.
You can see when players are desperate for a goal as well. It changes the way they play the game. It makes them rush decisions and just, you know, get a little bit head down. So we'll see if that affects anyone.
Mm, love that. What about you, Vish?
I am looking forward to every 50-50 this weekend being uncontested as people look towards the World Cup.
Yeah.
And it'll be a kind of like a moment where two players are running into each other and they're both in the same national team, whether that's for England or someone else. But yeah, mate, have it. Give me the next one.
Is this the weekend to play all your Scottish players? Is that what you're saying? You've got any in there, get them out.
If I'd like, Opta, this is the first weekend where all players in the Premier League have been Scottish.
Didn't know Pep Guardiola had so many back there.
Oh, that'd be rotten, wouldn't it? Yeah, just enlist all of them. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Mitrovic showing everybody who's the real top dog in Premier League striking terms at the Etihad on the weekend. More on that soon enough, perhaps, everybody. But first off, we go to Chelsea versus Arsenal. It's Sunday, it's midday. Arsenal scraped
yeah,
to a 1-0 win over FC Zurich last night. But they did finish top of their Europa League group. Did you see that footage of all the FC Zurich fans piling through wherever it was, North London, I assume?
Yeah, sort
of
it's very near where I live.
All wearing the black tops.
Yeah, it was.
And I thought you meant to be neutral, lad. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it was mad in North London. It was really, really loud. A friend of mine works in a restaurant around there. Like they graffitied the toilets.
Did they?
Yeah, they were genuinely like just on a, you know, tear up, which I was very shocked by. They were incredibly loud in the stadium.
Is that the worst they did, though? I mean, that's obviously not good, but I mean,
as far as I've heard,
okay,
yeah. I don't really know anything else, but it was absolutely mad. I was not expecting it. And it affected the atmosphere in the ground massively. They were so loud, just sort of coordinated flares and stuff. It was surprising. They had a lovely time.
Yeah. Could have been lovelier, though.
Yeah,
the game
was terrible.
Yeah. our Scottish player got
there
involved.
There you are, you see.
That's what you could take.
Something to play for.
Yeah. But they did finish top of their group. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It sounds like a Macbeth-style thing, isn't it?
Don't say his name.
Yes, true.
Just the Scottish player. But didn't he was seen playing with a ripped shirt later on in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a Zurich player...
A bit more Braveheart.
I have to say, I didn't even actually see this happen because it was down the other end of the pitch from where we're sat. But yeah, it's quite Braveheart, isn't it, if we're going to go down that road.
He dies at the end of Braveheart, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, eventually, I would imagine.
Famously or infamously,
yeah.
Well, Kieran Tierney? I don't remember that.
Who knows what happened at the end of the day? Kieran Tierney's still alive.
When he came out in the second half with the face paint, I thought that was a bit much, though.
There's a car in Braveheart, by the way.
I've heard this, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's easy to find. Best picture at the Oscars.
Right. There we are, you see. You've just got to shove a car in there. Well, Chelsea, of course, were in European action this week. They beat Dinamo Zagreb 2-1. Mason Mount awarded man of the match in that game, much to the disapproval of his teammates, it would appear. Young Mason said, "The lads have been battering me the last couple of games. I've got man of the match as they don't think I deserved it."
I love the way one of the criticisms about Mason Mount is exactly this.
Teacher's pet.
Yeah, exactly. Teacher's pet. Yeah. You know, his performances get a little bit overblown, you know, despite the fact that his raw numbers aren't that good, even though obviously he's an exceptional player.
Yeah.
And also his teammates did think
absolutely. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting, the players getting on board with the fans belatedly?
Yeah.
Huh. I know what you mean.
Sounds like a weird dressing room, that, doesn't it?
I'm just worried that they batter him too much and he's another England player that could be out for the World Cup. Stay fit, Mason, for crying out loud.
I don't think they're physically attacking him.
Let's hope not.
Are you worried that their banter will injure him?
Well, yeah, I don't know. people seem to think he needs to be wrapped in cotton wool. I'm not one of those people. He seems fairly robust.
He should have got man of the match anyway. He was very caring, I thought, at the end when he went over to see how Ben Chilwell was. I thought that was lovely.
That was lovely. And of course, that is a worry for England as well, because Ben Chilwell's injury is not good news for England or Chelsea, of course. Both teams go into this game off the back of very differing results in the league. Chelsea, of course, lost 4-1 to Brighton, whereas Arsenal beat Forest 5-0. So this should be a fairly routine win for Arsenal.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Mm. I don't see any other possibility, really.
Yeah.
You've just done that to upset Jim.
He has.
Yeah.
That's
what he ever does anything for.
Did you know? My whole life. I mean, I think that Arsenal, they've got reason to go into. I mean, they're 10 whole points above Chelsea.
Yeah, I think.
Why not make it 13?
Well, that is very much going to be the plan, Marcus.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think this is a really one of the toughest tests yet. Obviously, obviously they lost the game at Old Trafford, but played very well. Liverpool at home, obviously, was Liverpool are having problems, and the North London derby is always frantic and chaotic. Sure. So it's hard to sort of draw a lot of conclusions from it. But I think, you know, Chelsea, the form they've been in, I know they've stuttered a little bit lately, and that, you know, that winning run did come to an end.
Two points in the last three games, Chelsea. It's not great.
No, it's not. But we've seen under Potter that they do have a lot about them, and he's been experimenting, isn't he? He's not going to be playing Sterling and Pulisic as wing backs in this game, I would imagine.
You'd hope so.
Maybe he will. Uh-huh. So it being an away game as well, I think this is the toughest test Arsenal have faced this season so far.
Ooh. But you say, Jim,
I mean, it's easy to say with the results in mind, but...
Sure.
I mean, you say that, you know, there are circumstances with Liverpool and Spurs, et cetera, and you can't really judge anything by that. I think you exactly can judge Arsenal by those. Because with Arsenal, when you look at them going to Old Trafford and losing that game, for example, that was the point earlier in the season where you thought, this is Arsenal. It's not about ability, is about psyching themselves out at the wrong moment. Mm. And actually, it seems that they've overcome that barrier as the season has gone on. Yeah. So that would make me feel quite confident about them going into this, for example.
Well, one of the things they've had to overcome is essentially getting better results in the bigger games. And they've done that at home so far, but away, mm-hmm. been found wanting a little bit. So this is, again, a really good opportunity to test themselves in that environment.
Well, and losing away to Old Trafford has become somewhat of a recent tradition for Arsenal.
Yeah.
But I think Arteta would have used that and said, right, no. That's old us, that's not new us. And of course, last season at Stamford Bridge, where Arsenal would often go and play all right, actually, and come away with nothing, they went there and won. So it was quite an impressive performance. Gabriel Martinelli has been one of the there's been a lot of impressive performers for Arsenal this season, but he's been perhaps one of the stand-up ones. He was asked this week whether he will sign a new contract at Arsenal, and he simply said, they just need to get a pen.
It's very relaxed around there these days. It's not as stressful as it once was.
Yeah. Indeed. And that's good, Vish. You know, you want it to be relaxed. You don't want stress.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think the fact that Arsenal stuck by... I mean, obviously they weren't going to get rid of him, but he often talks about that period where he was out for about a year, wasn't he? And he says that the club like went above and beyond to look after him. Because obviously, like, you know... hugely talented player, a lot of potential. They're always going to look after him in certain ways, but I think he felt like there was a lot more of a personal touch.
But he's a young man away from home,
exactly.
And also doesn't have the experience of being, say, a 26 and 27 year old thinking, all right, well, you know, all being well, bit of money in the bank already, you know, because they are human beings, you've got to think about these things, but thinking, you know, I will come back, you know, there are contracts, I know how this kind of works a little bit, but he's still very young, of course, and this was, you know, in the recent past.
Yeah. So
they needed to look after him, and they obviously have.
Yeah, they have. Like, even one of the things, I know it's not like a big deal, but I was really struck by how quickly he learned English.
Yeah.
And how comfortable he was English openly very quickly.
I think they've obviously got a good teacher because... who was it went to play for Real Betis?
Hector
Bellerin. I mean, he sounded like a local pretty quickly. More of that, please.
Yeah, but evidently, like he feels so attached to them, and it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It's stupid to say this because obviously he will. Obviously he will go and play for another team, but already you can imagine him being like quite a bit as close as we can get to a lifer in Monday football.
That's it. I mean, as an outsider looking at Arsenal, this is the bit where it feels like the atmosphere around Arsenal has discernibly changed. Because to me, I'm not counting the days until he joins Manchester City.
Yeah.
And also, with them meeting Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang tomorrow, for example, it's like, I think, should they even give a shit about that? Yeah. Probably not.
You mentioned the PEA word.
Yeah.
But it is the Aubameyang derby.
Apparently so. Yeah, it's funny. You're right, though, Andy. This feels like the kind of the least needily ex-player playing for Chelsea against Arsenal that we've seen. I mean, he might score a hat-trick now doing an Adebayor to the away fans, but...
Arsenal fans seem to have been left rather annoyed at a recent appearance in a BT Sport advert where Aubameyang said, Arsenal, nothing personal. I'm back. I'm blue. I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah. It's exactly the
talking
sort
to
of,
you, Jim.
Apparently so, yeah. But this is exactly the sort of thing Arteta didn't want in his dressing room, right?
Yeah.
Well, if he wants to, yeah.
Absolutely spot on.
Turning up with his Chelsea kit. Yeah. We don't need that, do we? But you are right, though, to say that. And we talked about the relaxed atmosphere and the stress and so on. Aubameyang, enormously talented player. No one could ever argue that. His stats back that up. But he does bring a little bit of a circus and a bit of stress to proceedings.
I don't even think it's circus. If you look at some of the things that Aubameyang has done...
True, circuses can be enjoyable.
Yeah, well, actually, I don't know. Circuses are rubbish, aren't they?
I agree.
Yeah. They can be impressive to an extent. You see them when they jump from the bars and all?
Unless they're an animal doing that, no.
Okay. And we certainly wouldn't encourage that.
I don't know, if you saw a cartwheeling elephant, that'd be pretty jokes.
If it was doing it of its own...
Well, you'd have to train it first.
Vish, listen to what I'm saying and just agree with me. Okay? Yeah, okay.
If it ran the circus itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they're part shareholder.
Yeah, and if they're paid minimum wages, or above, then good, yeah.
Yes, okay.
And then he did a cartwheel, brilliant, I love that.
But back to the stress.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, sorry. So I think with Aubameyang, I wouldn't even say it's like a particularly attitude thing. He is a teenager's idea of cool.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things he does are affected in ways that, like, even stuff like that, I think, yeah, I just think it's a bit naff. I don't even judge him for it. I'm a bit like, do you need to do that? It's just so silly. Mm. And I think the thing that might hurt him is exactly what Jim said in terms of, mate, we've moved on.
We have
moved on.
But if they can shut him out as well, that would be testament to the good work as well.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he's scored, what is it, 3 goals for Chelsea, but they've been good finishes. Yeah. There was a sharpness lacking from his game towards the end of his time at Arsenal because I think he checked out a little bit mentally. Mm-hmm. And clearly,
even his timekeeping.
Yeah. I mean, he missed the North London derby because he was late getting there, which is absolutely mad.
As captain.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that was a bit before this kind of period, but that was clearly what started it. But he's still a very, very sharp goal scorer, and they're good. It'd be foolish to take him for granted, I think.
I feel glad you said that because I was really missing tense Jim over the last couple of minutes.
Oh, that will. Mm-hmm. It's going to take. I think Arsenal might need to win the league every year for about 10 years.
And if you lean over and grab an appropriate piece of flesh, you'll find he's very tense. Tottenham versus Liverpool on Sunday at 4:30. It's been a big week for both clubs, it's fair to say. And Harry Kane's been awarded the freedom of the City of London, and Jurgen Klopp was awarded the freedom of the City of Liverpool.
So are they going to march on each other?
I think they're
meet
gonna,
in Birmingham.
I think they're going to do. I think they're. I think they're going to sing "Freedom" by Wham, and they're going to jostle for who's Andrew Ridgeley and who's George Michael. I think Klopp will win out in that one. But a lot of freedom. So that means Harry Kane now has the right to sort of herd and drive sheep over London Bridge and cattle as well. And it does not just sheep.
Couldn't make the traffic any worse, could it?
It couldn't, Andy. It really couldn't. He should do that.
He should.
Some sort of, I don't know.
Feels like an extinction rebellion thing.
Some sort of silly YouTube
block
of
traffic with sheep.
Yeah, should like put on a Harry Kane mask and then get the sheep over the bridge and go, there you go. Something like that.
There you go, YouTubers. You got an idea for
that. I'm often influencing
there you go,
what
Mr.
you do.
Beast. Yeah.
I would just like someone to put that. If Harry Kane went, no, I want to give this a go.
I want to actually take advantage of this.
If they'll get it wrong somehow, he'll inadvertently get like a load of gnats because Charlie Kane would have fucked it up.
Gnats?
Yeah, that's the first thing I can think of. I thought beavers, but I quite like beavers.
Okay, yeah,
that'd be good.
That would be very good, yeah.
This is going to be an interesting game, isn't it?
It is.
Liverpool like conceding really early. Spurs like scoring really late. So that's kind of ominous.
Well, it is ominous.
That sounds like it could be really dull then.
Well, it was an entertaining game last time. Was it the last time they played? Was that Anfield or 2-2? It may well have been in the league.
I think there's going to be goals.
Yes. Well, Liverpool, obviously, they got their win over Napoli during the week. I mean, Napoli were already group winners, really. We would have taken, I think, a 4-0 loss for them to be usurped. But still, though, beating Napoli is no mean feat at all. And Spurs come off the back of that 2-1 win over Marseille. And they got their top spot in the Champions League group. Andy, you were at that game.
Yeah, I mean, there's no comparison between these two games because Spurs and Marseille both really needed this game.
Mm, yeah.
And it was appropriately tense, where Liverpool versus Napoli are a little bit different. You know, obviously great for Liverpool that they won. But
what did you think of Spurs in that game?
first half is one of the worst performances I've seen anyone.
They were absolutely nowhere. Kane was getting very annoyed and very isolated up top. It didn't help, of course, Son got that bad injury, which is a great shame.
But
even so, though, they didn't look like they were going to get the ball up there anytime soon.
No, they didn't. And this idea that I've heard trumpeted in some quarters that it was all part of the Conte plan. No one plans to play like that in a half of football. And the thing is, if they were being ultra defensive, they defended really badly as well.
Yeah.
Lloris had to be brilliant. They were absolutely hanging on.
Needed Kolasinac to miss that great chance. Jim Campbell.
One job, say Ed.
But it's funny, the whole time you're thinking Alexis Sanchez is going to do his former Arsenal thing, and he was a pest for them for a lot of the game. And then Kolasinac pops up, and
what a chance!
Yeah.
I mean, at one point it was Nuno Tavares put Sanchez through for a chance. It was like, bloody hell, this is.
How many people did you have behind enemy lines?
I know, right?
There's quite a few, but of course, and obviously Spurs, you know, they won it with pretty much the last kick of the game. But the Marseille bench had reportedly been trying to get a message on the pitch to tell their players to hold on because the draw would have guaranteed them a Europa League spot.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so they end up with nothing.
So basically, Igor Tudor said in the last couple of minutes, and you could see him on the pitch.
He was on the pitch!
The reason I think he was on the pitch...
He's just so flabbergasted.
Because he said afterwards, he was telling the players, after Kolasinac missed that chance, save the draw and we're in the Europa League.
Mm.
But some of the players said they heard it and they understood it. Mm. And some of the other players, like Chancellor Mbemba, said, oh, no one said that to me. So they were completely not on the same page, as you could tell from the way that they conceded that goal. I mean, I think, you know, if you're that close to the Champions League,
you've got to go for it.
You can understand it with the crowd.
But like Guendouzi said afterwards, you know, we should have been more mature. We were unprofessional. We should have held it after we missed that chance. But I think that's a bit revisionist.
I do as well to
say that.
But the fact is, though, that they will feel aggrieved that they didn't win the game, let alone get a draw. And Spurs, they battled and they managed to dig themselves out of a hole. But it wasn't that inspiring from Tottenham.
No, it wasn't. And I felt that we can all talk about the way Conte wants to play football, but actually, to me, they've looked like they're on their hands and knees begging for the World Cup break for a long time now. And really, it's those...
And that's just Harry Kane.
Yeah, well, really, it's those senior players like Højbjerg, Bentancur, who's great, who are really pulling them through that at the moment. There's no dazzle. There's no pep to them at all. I think this will be a kind of two bold men fighting over a cone kind of game, to be perfectly honest, because neither of them are looking great, Nick.
No, well, they don't. And Liverpool, they won their last game. So are they due a loss now? Is that how it works at the moment? They're sort of a bit stop-start?
Yeah, it's weird because you know exactly what Liverpool are trying to do. They're just not doing it very well. And you have this idea of what Spurs are going to do, but they're not doing that very well at all. And there is a lot more intention with Liverpool than there is with Spurs at the moment. And I'm not sure how that's going to manifest itself on Sunday, to be honest. But, you know, Son is the big loss. And I reckon they'll go there looking for a draw.
Mm.
And if they get it, it would be because Liverpool have messed up. Do you know what I mean?
Not a terrible point. Jurgen Klopp's been talking a good game, of course, as he does. And with regards to his freedom of the city of Liverpool, he said, I'm not 100% sure, but one of the duties is to defend the city. Or in the past it was. I know they meant it differently, but I will, with words, forever.
Oh, he said with words,
yeah,
not with fists.
You get to the Liverpool, the city gates. Oh, is that Jurgen Klopp?
Go away.
We're closed. Oh, Jim, before we go to a break, you've got something in your hand. Go on, what's that?
It's an email from Abigail.
Uh-huh.
And Abigail says, following on from your animal pitch invasions episode, a bull moose recently interrupted a youth soccer match in Wyoming, just in case you're interested, which Abigail, we very much are interested in that. Exactly what happens. A big moose just runs onto a game. And the kids are like six-year-old girls. Yeah. So they're all running away screaming.
I mean, I'd be screaming.
Yeah. But the moose just looks confused, really.
Well, yeah.
It's sort of, as ever, it's like, oh, what's this?
Well, it's trying to... It's waiting for a pass.
You'd be scared.
Why are you running away?
You'd
big man up top.
You'd be scared.
Very much so.
Moose are huge.
Yeah. I know, but it's like...
Stop pretending you wouldn't be.
No, but like, would you not also be
fascinated? You're a Londoner. If you see a big fox, you're a bit like... You know,
no, I quite like foxes.
Right,
it's just because it looks because it's a rarity to see something like that.
Yeah,
and it looks like it should be there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you watch the video, it's like quite sweet.
It's confused. It's two attempts to get rid of it. One is from one single dog just going absolutely mad.
Love
essentially
that.
Going, go, piss off.
How big's the dog?
You can't see the dog, but it sounds like a small yappy dog.
Right,
and then
okay.
A man on an e-bike just sort of herds the moose away.
That's excellent.
Very weird.
You can still listen to our guide to animal pitch invasions, of course. Just search for it in your podcast app and make sure you're subscribed while you're at it for that kind of nonsense. All right, let's have a quick break.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
To run and does. Can he play a colleague through? It's Jacob Murphy released. Murphy one on one. Jacob Murphy to win it.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. Before we go any further, I want to tell you that tomorrow Lions Watch is back this week. Luke and I are joined by Alexis Guerreros from the Cooligans podcast, who offers some insight into the US men's national team ahead of the big match with England in just 3 weeks. He's very, very confident and very determined that the US will beat old England. But that's out on the Football Ramble feed, so get your ears around that tomorrow. Speaking of England, Andy, you've got an email.
Yeah, it's from Tom. Well, it says it's from Tom, but it starts, "Hi, gang," which makes me think it's from you. Anyway, apparently from Tom, in inverted commas. "Hi, gang. Just getting in touch to let you know that I very much enjoyed how during Wednesday's Ramble Reacts, it took approximately 5 minutes for the episode to be hijacked by Three Lions chat. Yeah. Vish's idea of the 55-man squad being whittled down day by day until we reach Gareth's final selection. The only way to do this would be Big Brother eviction style, where the person not making the squad is revealed sliding doors, boos or cheers, and ultimately Davina McCall having a chat with them on the sofa about their brief time in said squad. Dan Byrne, for example, would be welcomed with a chorus of cheers, mostly led by a topless Pete, and a soul marker shouting, "We want Harry." What do you think?
I'm up for it.
I like it.
I like it.
And that would be Harry Winks for me. Do you know where Harry Winks is? Well, he's not been playing. Do you know
Sampdoria.
All right, Andy, I knew you.
sorry. I know you can't see this, listeners, but my fingers were touching the roof because my hand was up so high. Yeah. Me.
Did you know
Mason Mount over here?
You're going to win the game, are you, loser?
Did you know he's been on loan at Sampdoria?
I heard, yeah.
Is he? Andy's really?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently he's back in town. Because he's got an injury, Andy. That's not funny.
Okay.
All right. Get in touch with us if you know what Harry Winks has been up to since he's been back. Show at footballramble.com.
Or you can get in touch with us. Or Andy will tell us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Or tweet us at Football Ramble. Right, gentlemen. On Sunday at 2 p.m, it's Aston Villa versus Manchester United. My goodness, Manchester United. They beat Real Sociedad 1-0 in the Europa League last night. It wasn't enough to finish top of their group, so they will need to play an extra knockout round against the teams dropping down from the Champions League. When did that happen? Is that always...
That's from last season.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Yes, it's because West Ham and they didn't have to do that.
But the thing is, right, if you try and sell it to players as there is a small financial benefit to the club for, finishing top or... it's like when you talk about, finishing ninth instead of 10th in the Premier League, you can't pretend players give a shit about that kind of stuff. Whereas if you're offering them two games off, that feels like something worth... Actually, it's something that your coach would rather have than the players, isn't it? Because the players would play every day if they could. But, I think it's something really worth winning. And there was actually quite a lot of... I was working on a television broadcast of this, and there was quite a lot of chat about how United didn't really go for it because a second goal obviously would have put them top, and it didn't feel like they went full on to get it.
So playing Harry Maguire up top wasn't going for it. I mean, if that's not going for it, Andy, I don't know what is.
To be honest, mate, if England start Harry Maguire up top in the World Cup, I'm not going to think they're going for it.
Well, I think we need to fit him in somewhere. It's one in the eye for the hopefuls like Ivan Toney, Callum Wilson, Tammy Abraham. You know, take three strikers, Kane, Rashford and Maguire, perhaps. You're nodding away there. But what did you think your beloved Manchester United will have to go into this muggy little playoff? I mean, you love football. It's a bit more football.
Yeah, a bit more football. Obviously, the fixture list is quite congested anyway. Mm. But I don't know. They'll probably be like, "Oh, what was the Champions League like?" It was brilliant. Yeah, it was so good.
But it's a couple more games for Ronaldo to start, because that's what he often does in the Europa League.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he missed a chance yesterday, which I don't know if it was going to be ruled out for offside. And the look on his face, he looks haunted every day, doesn't he?
He does. He really wants out of there. And Paul Scholes described Manchester United's second half tactics as a little bit League One or League Two ish.
Mm. Yeah, I see that. But it's funny, you talked about missing the Champions League there, Vish. The teams they could get in the last 32 of the Europa League...
Won't be Marseille, will it, Andy?
Ajax, Barcelona, Juventus, Leverkusen, Salzburg, Sevilla, Shakhtar, Sporting. It's not exactly a fortnight.
Well, it was
off,
nice while it lasted anyway. Nice to have some free space as we get into the latter half of the season.
Yeah, but better news though for Manchester United was that the youngster Alejandro Garnacho scored. Looks a player.
Yeah, he looks outstanding. Mm. Like very exciting, and also quite grown up as well. Like he's been around, national team squads as well, and it's quite cool that I was always a little bit wary because he wasn't starting as much, and I wondered if, you're playing for Uruguay, not really playing as much for United. I always kind of wondered if it was maybe an attitude thing, or if, it wouldn't be the first youngster that United lost under their noses. He looks very exciting. He adores Ronaldo, which I think is quite sweet. There's something about it which is like, I just find quite cute. And he's
was it in training when he asked Ronaldo when he scored if he could do his celebration?
That rings a bell.
Yeah, so someone said that the other day.
Oh, the sleeping one, the old man one. Yeah.
That's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is it? I don't know. But mind you, the Real Sociedad mascot did piss take of Ronaldo's celebration.
Where the fuck I'll knock him out?
Yeah, I know. I thought
this isn't happening to Messi, is it?
No, it really
is. That must
is.
Be quite hard to do because mascots have got quite chunky fingers, haven't they?
Yeah.
So, but I think it was in the game last night with Garnacho, actually.
It's like seeing a Lego man trying to pick up a chopstick.
Yeah, an intriguing thought, Andy. But Manchester United are reportedly eyeing up Eric Choupo-Moting as a replacement for Cristiano Ronaldo next season.
Is someone leaking these for a laugh? Is like the Arnautovic thing all over again.
Yeah, but Choupo-Moting's a funny one.
He's not bad.
Yeah, no, I see, the thing with Choupo-Moting is people are essentially like, oh God, how is this Stoke player play for all these good teams? It's like, no. It's like, how is this Bayern player play for Stoke?
Remarkable, yes. Because no one says that about Xherdan Shaqiri, despite him doing the sum total of nothing since leaving there. Yeah. Choupo-Moting has improved Bayern loads since he's come back into the team this season. Loads. And he scored in six successive games. But it's not even the goals. The way he brings other people into play, which would work really, really well for United.
Yeah,
say all this shit about, oh, he's got a great agent and all the rest of it. Thomas Tuchel brought him to PSG for a reason, because he knew he could do a good job as not the first pick.
Yeah.
Now, if United are buying him as the first pick, okay, maybe that's an issue. He would be a phenomenal squad player for them.
Well, interesting.
Because United also linked with João Felix.
Yeah.
Which I'm fascinated.
You think he's not got enough misery in his life at the moment?
Oh, yeah, but I think he'd quite enjoy coming to us. Well, please come, Joe, if you're listening.
Yeah, but I think Manchester United, I mean, Jim, your radar is usually best for this. Have they or are they becoming a banter club?
I reject this notion. There is no such thing as a banter club. Just banter dickheads.
Right.
Or no one on Twitter.
Uh-huh. Okay, fair enough. Well,
you got ratioed.
I do. Amount of times I hear that.
Strange guy.
The big, I'm not going to shag you, Vish. The big news, of course, in this game is that Unai Emery will take charge of Aston Villa. For his first game. Footage has emerged this week of Big Unai taking a very active role in Villa's training sessions, and while on the ball in a training session, he paused the drill to tell off Jacob Ramsey for not pressing properly.
Yeah.
Jim, here we go.
Yeah, Unai Emery's first game in charge, taking charge of a struggling team with a squad that's better than we've seen from it so far, with a big name coming to town. This is going to be the dictionary definition of pragmatism. That's just how Emery operates, isn't it? It's just really, really straightforward. kind of play to the percentages, but in a kind of quite sophisticated way, I suppose. And I think it's going to be, I suppose, damage control in a sense, isn't it? Because he's got to work out how his players are going to respond to his methods, what their strengths are, and maybe he'll prove me wrong and they'll run out 3-0. But I think this is going to be a very essentially like an exercise in security. And
will
Emery
and will he struggle because Villa aren't in the Europa League? So will he be like a Unai Emery out of Europa League?
I would argue that Villa are in the Europa League.
Right,
we just haven't got to that bit yet. Because that is how Emery
just
operates.
The inevitability.
Is it a bit like, you know, when you can buy a house and then take on a title? You know, like, did you ever see he bought a house and he was
Lord of the Manor of Frodsham, wasn't
it? Yeah, that was it, yeah. So
can we fox hunt on your grounds? Absolutely not.
When a team hires Unai Emery, they get Europa League football, don't they?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Okay, well, I'm liking that. Okay, well, it will be intriguing to see what Emery does, and will they get the new manager bounce? They did under Aaron Danks.
They
very
did.
Much for one game and then back to normal.
I mean, I've said before, like, I think it's a fantastic appointment for Villa. And I imagine he's going to improve them a lot and probably quite quickly. And this is an interesting test, isn't it, having Man United come to town?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just hope for Emery that he doesn't... Yeah, when you were talking about, you know, strikers earlier for England trying to sort of really prove themselves, you know, he wanted to come back to the Premier League. He left, you know, a decent post. They were doing all right via Real. Andy, would it be fair to say that he does want to show people in England what he can do, because he was quite derided when he was here.
Yeah, I mean, he said that it's the challenge of Villa rather than the challenge of the Premier League that's made him come back.
Right, okay.
I would take that with a pinch of salt, because I think everyone who sees themselves as a top coach wants to be in the Premier League at the moment, because you can compete with the absolute best coaches. But going back to what Jim says, I totally agree, because he is an authentic coach of players. What you were saying about the Jacob Ramsey thing, that sort of attention to detail, that's what Villa need. That is really what Villa need. I don't feel like Villa need to go and buy five or six players in January.
It's a great squad there already, isn't there?
Yeah. There's loads of potential and they're all massively underperforming.
It's an oven-ready squad, Andy. Gentlemen, on Saturday at 3 p.m, a classic day and time for football, Manchester City will host Fulham. Will Manchester City ever catch Arsenal, Jim?
Well, you know, it's a big ask for them, isn't it? Hosting Metro and trying to catch Arsenal.
Yeah.
So, plucky little city, we don't know. We just don't know.
That is an interesting thing about this, I think. And I suppose this pertains more to Arsenal. But at some point this season, they're going to feel like they're being chased. And at the moment, it's been a bit too early where they can probably rest more on the cliche of taking each game as it comes.
I know what you mean.
Because especially given both teams are through to the last stage of their European competitions as well, there'll be a consistent theme where Man City will play before Arsenal.
Yeah.
And so provided there's no like more than 3-point gap, they're going to be swapping back and forth. And right now it feels like they're not, no one, you don't need to pay attention to it, but come to the end, well, you know, come after the World Cup when everyone is focused towards May, I think it's going to be a mentality that Man City will just be better at, or rather have are more seasoned with.
Yeah. It will suit them as well. And also because the amount of games coming thick and fast, you can eat up a points lead so quickly.
Yeah.
And they're so good at that. They're so efficient at that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. When the finish line is starting to be mentioned, then the jitters come in. Pep Guardiola said Erling Haaland will hopefully be fit again for this one, having missed obviously City's last two games with an ankle injury. If he does play, that will be good news for fantasy football players, of course, because everyone has or at least should have him as captain. Interesting. I'm not sure this is good news for tourism, though, in Sweden, because there's a Swedish coastal province of Halland, which is spelt H-A-L-L-A-N-D, so ever so slightly different. And they've urged fans not to confuse its name with Erling Haaland. Visit Haaland, the place, director Jimmy Sandberg, has suggested that is a real issue for tourism in the area. He said, "We are Haaland. He is Haaland. The popularity of the football phenomenon is completely suffocating our online presence. To our despair, we now see that all our efforts promoting Haaland..." No, I'm not sure if I'm not doing a service here. "Are rapidly being wiped away. If nothing is done, we fear our dear region is at risk of becoming a forgotten Atlantis, a place only known in stories and ancient scriptures."
See, for me, it seems like the other way around, because until this story, I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, Jimmy Sandberg needs every PR award going.
I think
he's turned this into a global story.
Yeah, I think he knows what he's doing.
And he's doing it very well. Let's appreciate it.
Yes, once again, well played,
and
Jimmy.
And maybe hire him.
Exactly, yeah. In the build-up to this game, Marco Silva, Fulham manager, said, "It is unfair for me to compare," when asked about Mitrovic.
Exactly.
But it's, it's not unfair for you.
One scored 50 international goals. The other one hasn't. So there's your comparison, everybody. One's playing at the World Cup. The other one hasn't. Or will not. But it will be intriguing when if Haaland does play, the two top strikers in the league, one could argue, will go head-to-head. We shall see how that happens. Gentlemen, I want to talk about the FA Cup first round briefly, if I may. It's the first round of the FA Cup proper this weekend, which is very, very exciting. And it shows you what stage, where we are in the calendar.
Yeah.
All this World Cup talk can be confusing. Let's just bring us all back down to earth with a bit of FA Cup first round chat. Non-league Colville Town have drawn Charlton Athletic, which is a glamour tie for them, of course. Their striker, Ashley Chambers, has said that they are buzzing about the draw. And on the game, Chambers said, "We hope to fly under the radar, because when you hear the name Colville, people don't quite know where it is in the country."
It sounds like, do you remember on Pro Evo, never called it Pez personally, but on Pro Evo, they didn't have all of the names of clubs.
Yeah.
So some of them would have names like that. And this sounds like Newcastle, just on that.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry to ruin it, Chambers, but it's in Leicestershire.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. Will that help them, though? If you can't point them out on a map, does that help them?
I was going to say,
does that give them an edge?
Who are we playing?
Jimmy Sandberg is the one to ask.
But he seems, like he seems to think thing. Charlton won't know where we are on the map.
Is he hoping that they go to the wrong place and Colville get a bye to the next round because Charlton never turned up?
Maybe. Or maybe, like, I don't know, when the Charlton players are out on the pitch, they don't know what angle, where they're going to appear.
Oh, yeah,
from.
Well, where's True North? Yeah. Footballers always do that.
I think Charlton won't be worried about this. They'll be like, "Is it non-league side? Well, we should be okay."
I kind of hope Charlton batter them now, actually.
Do you?
Yeah, we found you. You're out now.
You were on the pitch and we dealt with you. I don't give a damn. Oh, there we are. Right, everybody, it's now time for Betfair's popular bet builder. Select from the most popular pre-made football bet builders and you can add them to your bet slip in one handy tap. Every Friday on the preview show, we'll be building our own Ramble popular bet builder for a particular game happening each weekend. We'll keep a running tally through the season of who's pulling their weight and who's letting the side down. This weekend, it's Tottenham Hotspur versus Liverpool, Sunday at 4:30. Jim, you're up first. What are you going for?
I'm going to go for over 3.5 cards. Mm. I think it has the potential to get a bit tasty.
Love that. Andy, what about you?
Darwin Nunez to score or assist.
Yes, he scored against Napoli, of course.
He's getting there, isn't he? He's getting there.
To score or assist, Darwin Nunez. Vish, what about you?
I want both teams to score.
Yes, no clean sheet here.
No, I don't think so. It's got to be a bit of a messy game.
I agree.
Okay, well, I've gone for first goal scorer Harry Kane. Harry Kane to exploit Liverpool's back line, get the first goal, get us up and running, and we'll do the business for Tottenham. But of course, over 3.5 cards for Jim's selection. Darwin Nunez to score, assist any time, which Andy has suggested. Vish, both teams to score first. And my selection is first goal scorer Harry Kane. So a £5 bet with Betfair on the popular Bet Builder returns £125, 21 pence. And if we win, all of that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. We'll be back with another round of Betfair's popular Bet Builder on the preview show next week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 to get involved. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org. Right, everybody, it's time for this.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, but we do. It's time for Jack's Encyclopedia, everybody. Ho, 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 ho. Here we go. It's back. It's a welcome return to Jack's Encyclopedia. Of course, last week, Andy played with me and then beat me in Jim's game, so to speak, you dirty buggers. Right, enough of that crap. Jack's Encyclopedia, you know what you're doing here, gentlemen. I will give you a category, and all you have to do is give me an answer that fits into that category, and we're going to keep on going round giving answers. And if no one can give an answer, a correct answer, then you're out, of course. And if I think you're taking too long, I'll play my countdown clip, which is, of course, the Gary Neville orgasm.
It's Torres!
It's a long orgasm, though, isn't it?
Very long orgasm. Now, no repetition, of course, of a previous answer. The last person standing then gets the point. Three rounds. I do have a tiebreaker question in case you're all drawing at the end. So, gentlemen, are we ready?
Ready.
Excellent stuff. Andy Brassel, you're up first. The category, it's a doozy. I forget whether that means good or not. It doesn't matter. Category one, Tottenham Hotspur managers since the year 2000. Andy Brassel, you're up.
Mauricio Pochettino.
Jose Mourinho.
Martin Yol.
Nice to hear his name.
Harry Redknapp.
Andre Villas-Boas.
Wander Ramos.
Very good start, gentlemen.
Nuno.
I assume you mean Espirito Santo. Full names, please, Andy.
That is his footballing name.
Full names, Andy.
Okay.
I've got the buttons. Yes, Jim.
Ryan Mason.
Yeah. You could have said Rye. I'd have given you it.
Tim.
Come on.
Oh, yes!
Come on.
Tim Sherwood.
He deserves his full name. Premier League winner.
Has someone said Antonio Conte?
They haven't. Would you like to say that?
Yeah, Antonio Conte.
So it's starting to get tricky now, isn't it? Since 2000, yes. Was it? George Graham?
Love that. He started in 98, but stayed in 2008. Gentlemen, this is very impressive, I have to say. There aren't many answers left.
Jack Santini?
Oh,
well,
yes!
Played. I think this is one of the finest rounds of Jack's Encyclopedia we've had. Andy?
Glenn Hoddle.
Well played.
Oh, bloody Spurs. Do it to me again, aren't they?
If you're going to lose, it should be on lack of knowledge about a team that you despise, I think.
Think of all the people you've called a cunt over the years.
In the Champions League final, the headline has been written.
I was trying to think of the most tasteful, worst person I could think of. But I just tied myself in knots.
You've already said Jose Mourinho.
James Corden.
Yeah. Jim, you've gone. Vish, you need this to stay in to put it back to Andy. But if you don't get this, Andy's got the point.
Chris Hughton.
It's Brassel's point. Gentlemen, that was a seriously impressive round of Jackson's Encyclopedia. The only two answers that were left were David Pleat, who was a caretaker, and Clive Allen and Alex Inglethorpe, who were caretakers.
Wow.
That's all you had left.
Any of those.
A round of applause, because that was a fantastic... You've got 13 out of the 15 of managers there. And I think maybe because Andy went first, that was it was his serve, so it was the advantage. But very well played. Very, very impressive.
Can we clip the reaction of Brassel when I said Jack Santini?
Why?
Because I think I impressed Brassel by brassling him.
Can I just say, I've got it in for Jim now, because he took away from me the pleasure of saying, André Villas-Boas.
But you've said it now, Andy. Right, okay, everybody. Category two, teams. Jim, you're up first. And then Vish, and then Andy. Teams that have been relegated from the Premier League and then been promoted straight back to the Premier League the following season.
Okay. Norwich City.
It was a safe one.
Fulham.
Yeah, another one.
Burnley.
Well played.
West Brom.
Well played.
Newcastle United.
Ooh. Crystal Palace.
God, this is quickfire stuff.
West Ham United.
Oh, that's a good one.
Love that. This is great stuff. This is vintage Jack's game. Or Jack's Encyclopedia, sorry. Down at the side down, Vish. Don't make me press the button.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
Southampton?
The line has been written.
Just afraid not. That is not a correct answer. You're out. Andy.
Fulham.
I said Fulham.
It's already been said. The point goes to Jim Campbell.
Oh, shit.
So we're on the same point, were we?
Yeah. You said it. You started. Then Vish and then Andy did a repetition of that.
Who else did we have?
Birmingham City, Bolton, Charlton.
Oh,
Charlton
fucking hell.
Hull City, Leicester City, Manchester City, Middlesbrough, Nottingham Forest, Queen's Park Rangers, Sunderland and Watford.
Wow.
There's a few guesses there.
I was going to go to Blackburn Rovers, and I'm glad I didn't have to.
There we are, you see. Yeah. QPR, of course, your team, Vish. Your spirit animal. Oh dear. Right. So Jim's on one, Andy's on one, Vish is on zero. Vish, if you get this, you force the tiebreaker, which is a very, very good tiebreaker. So I'm not behind you because I'm neutral, but maybe some people will. Category three. And Vish, you're up first. Players that have played a first team game or more, of course, for Manchester United and Manchester City post-World War. Second World War. Doesn't matter anyway, does it? You'll probably go for more recent ones. So, Vish, players who have played for Manchester City and Manchester United since the war.
Peter Schmeichel.
Good start.
Andy Cole.
Carlos Tevez.
Of course.
Owen Hargreaves.
Lovely.
Terry Cook.
Very well played.
Mike Summerby.
Man City through and through. Jim's out. Vish.
Dennis Law?
Played.
Yeah.
Famously.
Very good, yeah. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't deliberately get this wrong to make you happy.
Mm-hmm. Andy.
It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final.
I'm struggling now.
The headline has been written.
I can
it's
tell
all
from
square.
Marcus's
it's
face.
All square.
And there's an obvious one as well, isn't there? Is there one we're missing?
Peter Barnes, you might not have got that. Peter Beardsley.
Mm. Huh.
Wyn Davis, John Gidman. Andrei Kanchelskis.
Ah, that's a good one.
Brian Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy McElroy and Mark Robbins. So a tricky one there, gentlemen, but not too shabby. So then, gentlemen, I'm delighted that we've got this tiebreaker. Andy, you're up first. Players that started for England in Sven's first game in charge, which was, of course, a 3-0 win versus Spain in 2001. I'm gutted that I'm not involved.
Oh, I know you are. I know you are.
Players that started for Svenigan's England for the first time ever. Andy Brassel.
I'm not even sure about it. It's David Beckham.
Of course he did.
David Seaman.
Jim Campbell's gone.
Nicky Butt.
Mainstay in the team early on, yeah.
Stephen Gerrard.
Yours to win, Vish. This is yours to win. Yours to win.
Fuck it, I might as well. I'm pretty sure Chris Powell played this game.
Chris Powell, big shout, the Charlton man. Well played, Sam.
Amazing.
Very well played.
Very good.
You see? And I'll let the whole thing go, because you rarely get it. How about that? Yeah. As you said, who said Nick Barmby? Someone say Nick Barmby?
No.
Sorry?
Nicky Butt.
Oh, you said Nicky Butt. Sorry. I'm getting me Nicky's mixed up. Yes. So other players were Nicky Barmby. You mentioned Beckham, but Sol Campbell, Andy Cole, Rio Ferdinand, David James was in goal. Fizzer. Surprised he didn't go for Michael Owen. And Paul Scholes was in there as well. So Vitushan Ehantharaja wins, everybody. How about that?
It's weird because before beating one person at Luke's game was like, yeah, all right. And somehow beating two people makes it feel a bit less.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you still going that line? Just enjoy it. You're going to have
Where's Jimmy 2B now? I'll take your fucking graph. you nerd.
Oh, dear. Well, everybody, Jimmy, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him, Jimmy. The keys are in the lock. You're staying behind, okay? Everyone is free to run wild on the weekend, but you're going to have to stay behind with me.
I brought my weekend eagle. It needs to go outside.
Oh, everybody. Jim, would you recommend a song for everybody to drive them through into the weekend? Got anything?
Raspberry Beret.
There you go,
easy one to fall back on.
I knew you were going to come up with the goods there. Andy, you're nodding.
Yeah, but it's not. I love Prince as much as the next man, but it's not by Pitbull, is it?
No, Pitbull's always it. We've got Pitbull's in the bag.
Right,
that's safe, okay. Andy. Okay, don't worry about that. We've all got that. Anyway, enough of the bollocks, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Of course, do not forget Lions Watch tomorrow morning. It's going to be a lovely listen, and we had a lovely time talking to Alexis. So get that on your Football Ramble feed, of course. But until the next time, thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vitushan Ehantharaja.
Sorry, one second. I'm just unmuting Jimmy 2B.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.